Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben is waving, folks. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me, cheery today.
Very.
In the face of challenges to the democracy.
What democracy? You mean the fortification of the oligarchy? Is that what you meant?
That's the new definition.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on May 30th, 2013, titled ROM's New TIF Program Looks a Lot Like the Old TIF Program. And we have breaking news about this story. In this story, you're comparing one of the most recent TIF-funded developments, which we talked about last week, which is a development on Cermak by McCormick Place to build a, quote, events center, unquote. He's making another gesture that's not waving in a hotel. What was our breaking news on that?
Well, the breaking news, just so we remind our listeners, this is perhaps the stupidest economic development scheme that any mayor has endeavored since Mayor Daley proposed that we buy Michael Reese Hospital. This project is on the greased path, is that the word you say, to approval. Today is Friday that we're doing this interview, May 31st. Yesterday, Thursday, May 30th, the House of Representatives in the state overwhelmingly voted for it. And today, I presume, the Senate will follow. And Governor Quinn, much to my chagrin, is probably going to sign it. Pat, you let me down if you do.
Did they vote on extending the TIF district in which
this
resides?
That's part of the package, yeah. What they voted on, what they actually voted on was this giant, for lack of a better word, public works bill, which is just like a lot of pork being thrown at various constituents throughout the state. And included in that was Chicago's share of the pork, which this is cockamamie scam scheme to build this entertainment arena, if that's what we're calling it now, basketball arena for DePaul, and a hotel for God only knows who. So we're just giving the city a blank check to do something stupid on this near south side. So in order to do that, one of the things they have to do is to take a TIF district and extend its life. It's about to expire, thank God. Mercifully, the money presumably would go back to the schools. But no, we cannot let that happen. We must continue to corral that money.
Schools don't need them. We're closing
schools.
Schools
don't need it. We're closing schools, right. Why waste money on something we're closing? Better to build a basketball arena. People, I cannot believe you elect these scoundrels. Really. I mean, Chicago, look in the mirror.
Just for the record, today is the last day of the legislative session in Springfield of the General Assembly. And the only other time the legislators will reconvene this year is in what's commonly known as the fall veto session, which takes place in the fall.
Okay, that's a trick question, because you could have been asking me, where does it take place, as in Springfield?
In a Denny's just outside Springfield. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this article. Thanks for that update.
The thing I wrote about for the last 2 weeks looks like it's getting the state approval, which means that the fight, what little fight there is of resistance, will be on the local front. So we'll have to be looking to our illustrious band of aldermen in the city council to defeat this, or the representatives of the various taxing bodies who are losing property tax dollars.
And do you want to give a shout out to the ladies of the lake?
Yes, I must, in all fairness.
Positive reinforcement.
I want to say, I don't know why they did, but they voted against this cockamamie scam.
And who are these ladies?
They're our state reps, Kelly Cassidy, Deb Mell, Ann Williams, and Sarah Feigenholz. And I'm doing that strictly from memory, Dave.
Pretty good.
So congratulations to all those four state reps for voting no.
Why do you call them ladies of the lake?
Because their districts are in the north side. I'm not quite sure, as I told you, whether they all touch the lake, the districts, that is. I don't know if Deb Mell's district actually touches the lake. I'm pretty sure that Kelly Cassidy's does and Sarah Feigenholz's does.
Northeastern Chicago district.
Yeah. When some of the lobbyists, my sources in Springfield, called me yesterday, say, Ben, you won't believe this. And then they said, but the ladies of the lake stood strong. So congratulations to the four of them. And State Rep Harris, who voted for it. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're supposedly a North Side reformer, and it's embarrassing. And of course, we can go down the list. Representative Berrios, shame, shame on you.
Wait, are you looking for a surprise here?
Well, Richard Mell's daughter voted against it. You know,
that's the surprise. Tony Berrios, no surprises.
I will be detailing these votes in a future article. But once again, with the exception of the four women that we're extolling, it's very disappointing to see how pathetic our representation is from the city of Chicago.
All right. Well, on that depressing note, let's go into the article then. So we're talking about, again, this parcel. Here I have an aerial view printed out from Google Maps.
Very cool.
It's satellite.
You are Mr. Map.
Bounded on the east side by Prairie Avenue, the north side by 21st Street. and on the west side by Indiana Avenue. What's over here? The biggest building in this parcel is in the southeast, and it's this brick. It's mostly a parking lot here, and it's like two stories and next to a vacant lot. Any idea who owns that or what that is?
Some of this property is tied up in litigation over a foreclosure matter. Some other of the property in question is owned by James McHugh, who's one of the most prominent construction developers in town.
And has done many city contracts.
Yeah, he's built all over town, and he had a plan for some development in this area, and I should call him up, actually, and see if he talks to me about how he views this.
How much he'll want.
Well, that's what it comes down to. I mean, ultimately, yes, you're correct. The money that we're spending, once again, as we explained last week, the property tax dollars that Mayor Emanuel is determined to spend will be used to acquire property in order to construct this monstrosity. So the value of that property is going to go up in the eyes of the property holders because the city has deemed it valuable land for
desirable.
This hotel. Yeah, there's going to be a casino maybe. Who knows?
You don't think so.
Did I say that last week? I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping we don't get the casino. That's a whole other story. But anyway, if this thing progresses as is, what Mayor Rahm has done is effectively, as I say many times, is interfered in the free market process. The government has intervened. So all our libertarian listeners and our free market listeners and our conservative Republican listeners should be up in arms, outraged.
Because you know we have a lot of those.
Yes, we have a lot of those. Actually, I should say among the 35 votes yesterday, 27 were Republicans. The 35 no votes that voted against us in the Springfield. So the Republicans, I have to give them credit for that.
There you go. Anybody besides McHugh, a prominent property owner on this block?
Not that I can think of right now.
There's one lone graystone sitting up here in the northeast corner.
Oh, that's that historically valuable property that they're supposedly going to move.
Oh.
They're going to put it on like on wheels and move it somewhere. I mean, it's one of those cockamamie deals that just gets more preposterous as you look at it. The fact that a deal that is so bad, that is so poorly thought out, that is so detrimental to the long-term needs of taxpayers and the Board of Education, the public schools. The fact that this lunacy would be shoved on the grease track to approval so quickly is a sign that we do not have an effective democracy in Chicago, that we have what I don't know what do we call it anymore, Dave? I don't even know what to call it anymore.
I think you called it an oligarchy.
Oligarchy? That's not a kleptocracy. That's what my old friend, the city worker, took me around Washington Park one day, called it a kleptocracy.
We're stealing the tax money.
Yeah.
So what else is over here? Up in the northwest corner, there's a couple 1 and 2 story brick buildings that look like they're originally a combination of retail and residential. And there's a lot of parking on this parcel on the west side of it. And then there's a bank. The whole southwest quadrant is a bank surrounded by lots of parking.
Yeah, those people who own that property will be negotiating with the city shortly.
Let's talk about the report from the mayor's TIF commission or task force that you talked about in your article, which came up with a bunch of criteria for assessing the feasibility and the desirability of a TIF project. And you went through the report and see if they did any of that stuff for this parcel. And you found no, was basically the answer.
Yes.
I have part of the report here where it has 6 recommendations, this task force.
So you've read the report now.
The movie's not coming out anytime soon, I think.
Well, no.
The video's out.
The city did produce
a video.
A TIF video, yeah. Which I urge all of our listeners to go watch to see just how little the city thinks of you. Because as I recall, sort of the overriding theme of that video is that the citizens of Chicago are complete idiots. As I recall.
They interview people on the streets to show that nobody knows what a TIF is.
Yeah. And then the guy who knew what it was didn't really even know what it was. Everybody kind of laughs at the dumb people. And remember the one lady, what was the joke? She goes, a TIF, isn't that a restaurant? my fellow Chicagoans.
Listeners, you could go to shygov.com and on the money menu, click on tax increment financing. You can find a link to that video. Anyway, the task force came up with 6 recommendations. Establish the city's TIF goals. Allocate resources, meaning a multi-year capital budget. Monitor performance in terms of metrics. Increase accountability, making justification for public funding of private projects more explicit. Take action. That's a laudable goal.
Yeah, take action.
What does that say? The city should set and manage to performance thresholds for districts and projects. I think I'll just leave that one alone. And then enhancement, oversight, and administration. Empower an internal body with clear account, clear accountability.
Yes. They've done none of that.
Have they done that at all for any projects as far as
not that I know of. There's been two significant TIF proposals under Mayor Rahm, significant in terms of chunks of change, as opposed to, you know, using TIF as sort of the petty cash where you dip into it from time to time to do street repairs, which is just a complete misuse of the whole
thing. The TIF purse.
Yeah. But putting that aside for the moment, there's this project and then there's the atrocity. It's on the Chicago River, just off the Lake Street L. They're building a skyscraper there, some of the world's richest developers. Each case, there's no evidence whatsoever that any of the recommendations were taken into consideration. They certainly aren't being publicly disseminated. So, like, how much money are we going to spend and how much money will it bring back in terms of the property taxes? If you use those metrics at the near Southside TIF where the basketball arena is going, we would have no choice but to reject it because, as I keep saying, we're spending $55 million, property tax dollars, to purchase land. And by doing that, we are taking land that is now taxable and we're turning it into tax exempt. So if we are going to determine whether this is in the best interest of the Chicago taxpayers, which presumably Mayor Rahm is going to do because that's what his TIF advisory board told him to do, then the first thing we have to say is, when and how will we receive the $55 million that it costs to buy the land? When will we be compensated for that acquisition cost? Then once we've determined that, we have to say, when and how will we be made whole for the property taxes that we would not be receiving because we're taking taxable land and turning it tax exempt? So that's a really difficult assignment because what we don't know is what kind of development would take place there if the city didn't intrude into the free market.
It would be hypothetical.
But there are plans that have been on hold because of the downturn in the markets to develop this land. And with the markets returning, the housing market going up, one could easily assume that this property would go up in value and become very popular.
What do you know about those plans?
There was a hotel development plan that is now in foreclosure court. It's in bankruptcy court. There's contesting who owns it. Does the bank own it? Does the developer own it?
But if it wasn't built, how did it get into foreclosure?
What happened was that the person who bought up the property and put the plans together was unable to pay back the loans. It's a woman developer that she had incurred to buy the property.
So she's sitting on this property.
At the moment, I believe she may have lost
her
the
lender.
Property. Yeah, there's a battle. It's being contested. That's like a whole complicated side story. So when the city gets around to buying up this land, if it comes out, I don't know who will receive the money for the land. I have no idea who owns the title.
Because the lender might have the property.
The lender may have it.
Do you know which piece of this property that is?
No, I don't. To me, that whole issue is a very important issue in terms of the metrics, the whole issue of what would we as a city obtain from this land in property taxes if we were to allow it to be developed, just be developed. We need to know that before we can determine whether it's in our best interest to allow the city to spend $55 million to take it off the property tax rolls. Now, Mayor Emanuel has not at this moment put out any substantial numbers that would indicate we're ever going to get that $55 million back, like within our lifetime, if ever. All right. So for that reason alone, if you follow the recommendations of his own TIF task force, this project should be rejected. And instead, it's on the fast track for approval.
As we speak. In your article, you wrote that the mayor didn't run this development that we're talking about by the area residents.
Correct.
Many of whom say they don't want the arena, the event center. To whom did you speak? What did they say?
Oh, I've talked to a couple of residents in the area. There's a pretty well-organized bunch down there in the historical district, the Prairie Historical District, and they have been going to all these meetings, these planning meetings to discuss these various developments that have largely been stalled by the economy that I've been alluding to. They're a pretty accommodating bunch as residents go. The one thing they objected to is the basketball arena because it just doesn't fit in very well. That's like a slab of concrete or brick with no windows. Doesn't really fit with the accompanying landscape.
Not architecturally redeeming.
Yeah. And so then they don't want it. Just in terms of a neighborhood perspective, they object to that. Now, this area had been talked about as a possible site for a basketball arena before Mayor Rahm put this out, and so there had been discussion in the neighborhood about it. It was pretty clear by the neighbors that they were against that basketball arena. this specific plan was not run by them before it was released. So, you know, they've been playing catch up like everybody else. And now as we speak, a lot of these neighbors are meeting with the city. It's classic city, you know, strategy where they have a few meetings to see whatever it is.
Maybe the city can offer them iPads and air conditioning.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. That's excellent.
Seems to work.
Yeah, it seems to work. Yeah. I'm not sure iPads will work with this bunch. I think they already own their own iPads.
Oh.
You know, right now there's some meetings going on between residents and the city. The city is, like you said, has this on the fast track. And part of that means getting some kind of accommodation with the local residents if they can. And if they can't, they just plow the local residents over, as we've seen happen in other development deals throughout the city.
That's all we have time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
Listeners, you can follow all of Inside Chicago Government's reporting on the device of your choice. To learn how, go on your web to chigov.com. Look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.